For Spokane Public Radio, I'm Chris Massini. My guest is Catherine Smith, Spokane-based poet and artist, whose new book, Chosen Companions of the Goblin, has just been published as winner of the Open Country Chapbook Contest. Her previous collection of poems, Book of Exodus, was published in 2017 by Scablands Books. Cat Smith, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So your new chapbook, Chosen Companions of the Goblin, is based on the Fox Sisters.
Yes.
Who were real women who claimed to be spiritual mediums and were really at the center of the spiritualist movement in the United States in the 19th century. So tell me what first got you interested in writing about the Fox Sisters.
Well, I learned about the Fox Sisters at a writing workshop. I was at Lit Fuse, which is a poetry convention that takes place in Tieton, Washington every fall down near Yakima. And funnily enough, the workshop that I took was led by Laura Reed, who is also a Spokane poet. So I had traveled several hundred miles just to take a class with someone who lives right here in the same town. But she led a workshop about writing long poems that braid together elements of history, elements of the poet's own experience, several different things like that. And she brought as an example an article about the Fox Sisters as someone we might draw from for this poetry exercise. And that same year, Sharma Shields had asked me to participate in her Lilac City Fairy Tales event that she's put together in years past at the Bing Crosby Theater. And the theme that year was Weird Sisters. So I just kind of started writing about them, and I didn't really have a plan to write a short collection about them, but that's just what worked out.
Yeah, so maybe give us a little bit of the story of the Fox Sisters and why you found them to be such fruitful inspiration for poetry.
Sure. Well, I'll read just a couple little paragraphs that are in the introduction to the book, because I think that's the most succinct way to introduce them. In 1848, sisters Maggie and Kate Fox began interpreting noises they heard in their family's New York farmhouse as messages received from the dead. Maggie was 14 and Kate was 11. Managed by their older sister Leah, the Fox Sisters became sought-after spiritualist mediums. After the sisters publicly demonstrated their abilities in 1849, the Rochester Daily Democrat noted that the mysterious knocking sounds were heard, quote, only when some of the frailer sex are present, who have been indeed the chosen companions of the goblin. So I was drawn to this story partly because these girls were so young. I was compelled by the fact that these were girls who maybe didn't have much opportunity to have their voices heard. And then as these girls grew up, they continued to do this at a time when women weren't really public figures. So they had the opportunity to become public figures, but at the same time, it wasn't their own voices that were being heard because supposedly they were speaking for these spirits in this other world. So this kind of two-edged sword of having the ability to be heard, but only if you're not speaking for yourself.
Hmm. Well, before we get too much deeper into the world of the Fox Sisters, I'd like to hear one of the poems from the collection.
Sure. This is called You Know What They Say About Women and Apples. When my sister gave me the shiny fruit, I only wanted to eat. I was hungry for one thing that was wholly my own. If Eve taught us anything, it's never to share. Keep your secrets on a string, tied in the hem of your dress, so that in the night, as the house grows restless with what it knows, you can answer its groans with a thud to the floor. Reel it up again like a fish on the line. Hooked. Consider the ways the apple betrays us. A fairy tale's bright poison. Food in the mouth of the slaughtered hog. Battered each night against floorboards, my apple's skin never split, though I knew if I put my teeth to it, I'd find no bite left unbruised.
That was Catherine Smith reading her poem, You Know What They Say About Women and Apples, from her collection, The Chosen Companions of the Goblin. So in addition to your poems in this collection, there's also erasure poetry.
Yes.
And so can you describe a little bit about what that is and where the original texts came from?
Yeah. So erasure poetry is basically taking a page of text and removing or erasing some of the words so that the words that are left behind form a poem. And in my research for this project, I read a book called The Death Blow to Spiritualism, Being the True Story of the Fox Sisters as Revealed by Authority of Margaret Fox Kane and Catherine Fox Jenkin. This is a book that was written in 1888, 40 years into the Fox Sisters' career, and they decided that they wanted to reveal to the public that they had been tricking everyone all along. And so with the help of an author, they published this book that was supposed to expose once and for all how spiritualism and all of their work as mediums had been false. And when I read this confession that the Fox Sisters had written, I still had some questions as to whether they really believed in their abilities or not. Throughout this process, I tried to kind of remain a little bit agnostic, I guess, as to whether the Fox Sisters really were interpreting spirit voices or not, because I wanted the poems to feel like they had an openness about them. So when I read this confession where they supposedly take it all back, I was still a little bit skeptical. At this point in their lives, they were running out of money, and so maybe they decided to publish this book as a way to make money. There's all kinds of things going on. So I decided to take pages from this book and use that as my source text for some erasure poems. And in the book itself, it looks like a page of text with a lot of the words scribbled out with pencil, which is exactly what it is. These are images of pages that I physically scribbled out. And I liked the effect of being able to see a little bit of the print that had been there behind the pencil marks, because there's something kind of ghostly about that. Mm-hmm. And there's still this element of who's really speaking, whose voice is it, who is making the knocking sounds, all of these kind of questions that we have.
So you mentioned before that the title of this collection, mm-hmm. The Chosen Companions of the Goblin, mm-hmm. comes from a newspaper article,
yes.
that was describing the Fox Sisters.
Yes.
But in your poetry, you sort of turn that around a little bit. So would you be willing to read your poem, Who the Goblins Are?
Okay. Who the Goblins Are. Men who gather, who stare, who gather in order to stare. Men who call into question the thing we beckon. Men who crowd the hall, who place me and my sisters on the stage. Men who insist on examination, who say we must prove ourselves, whose prodding attempts to prove us wrong. Who are the same men who pay for rooms in which we hold our circles, who pay for us to tell them the dead long to speak to them. Men who love youth, beauty, under the spell of something else. Men who love to see a young girl's body when the girl herself is outside her body. Men who command women to take us behind a curtain and peel away our clothes. Who would cast a trance. Who would call us their invention. Who would say what we do is against God, though God favored Mary by sending her a voice.
That was Catherine Smith reading her poem, Who the Goblins Are, from her new collection, Chosen Companions of the Goblin. So as I mentioned in the introduction, you sort of turn that idea of the goblin around and point it at men in general. So, I mean, to me, it seems like the men are both the audience, obviously, but also maybe the exploiters of the sisters. So, yeah, tell me about how this poem came to be.
Yeah, I think these girls, and later as they became women, they were constantly being kind of put on a stage and questioned, and there were doctors who would come, there were, quote, men of science who would come to kind of try and figure out how exactly they were making these noises, if they were making the noises that were then being interpreted as the voices of the ghosts that they were translating. And men would hire them to come and try and contact, you know, dead relatives who they wanted to speak to and believed in their abilities enough to hire them to come and do that, but then at the same time would question them. And I think the voices of men were largely controlling what was happening to these women at the time. I also, anytime I'm writing from another point of view, from a historical point of view, I've chosen that voice because it's something that I feel like I connect with. And in this story of the Fox sisters, I saw so much that I could relate to as a woman in America in the year 2019. And I think that even though this story is an old story, it's something that a lot of women can relate to in their own way. So I kind of wanted to crack open their story a little bit to give other women the opportunity to feel like they could relate to it.
Yeah. And the Fox sisters, both in your book and in sort of the historical story, are really interesting characters in that, as you said, they were really, really young, and they sort of sparked this whole movement that really swept the entire country, and they came very famous and very wealthy, and then had a very sort of public and humiliating fall from grace and sort of ended up penniless and dying.
Yes, yeah. So, the end of their story is quite tragic.
Yeah, and I like the way that your poems sort of turn that around away from them and more onto the public in general. I think in this poem, exemplified by men, but particularly in the last poem in the collection, even more so just on towards like the American public in general. Would you be willing to read the last poem in the book?
Sure. Animal magnetism versus spiritual magnetism, or the vertiginous sister attempts a mesmeric state in order to more fully understand. I was already spinning when the man waved his hand and commanded trance. I'm a good girl, so it's easy to fall when instructed. I've always been good at being sickly. I'm jelly-legged, I'm clamored, just let me lie down. The doctor said, it's just an aural imbalance. Now see how the demon ear will fool you. Aural to aura, auricle, oracle, and auricular shifting. And see how easily you are mistaken. There's an ear-shaped pouch at each atrium of the heart. It's not my fault. My fall. My falter. My fall in vertiginous magnetism. I follow instruction. And I'd been spinning for days. Everyone in America was already spinning. Animals magnetized by what they long to believe, by the heart that hears its own skipping, the ear hears its own spinning. Everyone in America was already spinning, so I answered the knock at the door of another dimension.
That was Kat Smith reading from her collection, Chosen Companions of the Goblin. So you have a reading coming up with some fellow women poets.
I do.
Yeah, so just in time for Halloween, October 25th, 7 p.m. at the Women's Club of Spokane. And so tell us about, you have other folks also reading with you as well, right?
I do. Chris Dennison, who is a local fiction writer, is going to read something that she wrote. And then some other poets will be joining me, Laura Reed, Ellen Welker, and Maya Jewel Zeller, and they are going to be reading some of my poems with me. We've talked a little bit about the voices of women and how I want this project to feel like it's not just telling the story of these sisters, but that it has space to tell the story of other women throughout history. And also, you know, the idea of different voices speaking. So I thought it would be really wonderful to bring in some women whose work and whose kinship in the life of poetry has been very important to me, and to have kind of a multitude of voices come together to speak these poems.
Well, my guest has been Catherine Smith. She will be hosting a release party for her new book, Chosen Companions of the Goblin, Friday, October 25th, 7 p.m. at the Women's Club of Spokane. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.